Let's now turn to Dr. Pamela Starr, who is in Mexico City. She is the director of the U.S.-Mexico Network at the University of Southern California, where she researches contemporary Mexico, its politics and policymaking, foreign policy and relations with the United States, and the politics of economic policymaking across Latin America. She spent 8 years in Mexico as a professor of Latin American political economy at the Instituto Tecnológico Autónomo de México, ITAM, and recently published an article at foreignaffairs.com, What Mexico's Election Means for the Drug War. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Pamela Starr.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
And you've obviously been busy over the last 2 days. Is there any final resolution in as much as López Obrador AMLO, as far at least as up until recently, had not conceded, when it's pretty clear that Peña Nieto has won the presidential elections?
Yeah, let me, before we get to that, just make a clarification. The current governor of Oaxaca is currently from a coalition of the PRD and the FUN.
Oh, he is? Okay.
They actually were able last year to finally dislodge the PRI from the governorship.
So okay. Okay. Well, thank you for that correction.
For the listeners.
Yeah.
In terms of sort of López Obrador, he has not recognized the results of the election as announced by the Federal Electoral Commission. And indeed, just a few hours ago, he announced that he was going to challenge the results of the election. And it actually makes a great deal of sense that he has made that decision. As your previous guest noted, and as I noticed yesterday as I was wandering around saying Electoral Observer, there were a lot of irregularities in the voting process. There were a lot of there's a lot of unusual activity in voting stations throughout the state of Mexico, which is a stronghold of the PRI. And there very clearly were irregularities in the campaign in terms of spending money, in terms of the bias of the media. So it's worthwhile for the PRD to challenge these results. And additionally, it's what López Obrador's supporters are demanding. I am 132. The student movement has been marching out in front of my hotel. I went down and watched them about a half an hour ago walk by. And they're just adamant that this election campaign was unfair. And I don't think they would accept anything less from López Obrador than him at least challenging the results before the Federal Electoral Tribunal. And finally, this is what he personally thinks is right. He thinks that the campaign was unfair, and that it's his responsibility for Mexican democracy to challenge what he thinks is an unfair outcome.
So on top of the flagrant bias of the media duopolies, Azteca and Televisa, who effectively anointed Peña Nieto months ago as the next president of Mexico, and the lot of evidence of vote buying, on top of that, now we have a lot of evidence of electoral fraud.
I wouldn't call it electoral fraud. I mean, there is evidence of electoral fraud. The thing that's different now is that Peña Nieto has completely restructured the way the PRI machine works. He's made it a machine that we would recognize in the United States as a traditional Democratic Party machine, like the old Chicago machine or the old Tammany House machine, and made it for the 21st century. So you don't see fraud when you go to voting stations in Mexico State and other places where the PRI is dominant. What happens is you actually have a government that delivers to the people and encourages the people after the fact, because they have received a tractor or they have received a job or they have received a new road. They aggressively encourage them to vote for the party. And they have lists to keep track of how people vote to make sure they do vote for the party, and they bust them in. So it's not like the old days where people actually were paid for their votes. There's still some of that going on. But it is more of what I would call a real powerful democratic political machine. I mean, it's a machine designed to work in a democratic context.
So given then that there is this electoral body that AMLO can appeal to, I'm surprised at the ease and with which the global press, the American press, have accepted Peña Nieto as the new leader unquestioningly.
Well, We're talking about 4 million votes. That's the difference between Peña Nieto and López Obrador. The likelihood that there's that much fraud in an election that was extremely well, if not completely covered by electoral observers, in which virtually every polling station had representatives from all three parties, finding fraud in the ballots, 4 million worth, is highly, highly unlikely. Mm-hmm. What this says to me is what López Obrador is going to do is accept the outcome of the election. He will say it's illegitimate because of fraud, of vote buying, of inequality in the campaign. But at the end of the day, he is going to accept this result. We're not going to get a repeat of 6 years ago when he lost by 250,000 votes, that he went out on the streets with his people and occupied the center of Mexico City for several months. That's not going to happen again. And I think he's saying that he's going through the political institutions, challenging it before the Electoral Tribunal, is basically saying to us that at the end of the day, they're going to accept the outcome.
So what then will, obviously he's not, you're saying he's not going to relitigate it, and he did when it was so close, 250,000. Now there's a distance of 4 million. It's unlikely that he has a case. But what about the student movement that has gained so much attention in this election? Is that going to live on?
That's a big question mark. We can only hope that they'll live on. I mean, for me, there are two really huge silver linings in this election. One is the fact that even though the PRI is coming back to power, they did not get a majority in the national legislature, in the Congress. In fact, the Congress is pretty much divided, looks like it's going to be divided into threes between the three main parties, although the PRI has a larger group. That means that Peña Nieto, at least at the national level, the PRI is going to have to learn how to govern democratically. And that's a very positive thing for the development of democracy in Mexico over the long term. But the other thing is the anger that we see in the student movement toward the manipulation of the media and the sense that Peña Nieto was imposed by the media gives the progressive movement, the pro-human rights, pro-civil rights, pro-democracy movements in Mexico a target. They're mad. I've been watching blogs all day, watching the anger that these groups are feeling, and they're targeting their anger on this government. If this mobilizes a civil society in a country that has found it very difficult to get civil society to play its appropriate role in the democratic process, that's another very positive thing. Will be able to do it? I'm not sure. They don't have a clear leader like the Chilean student movement, but let's hope they do.
Well, there have been analogies made with Yoso 132 and the Arab Spring, and I suspect that the Mexican student movement is largely a middle-class movement and not as broad as the Arab Spring movement. But what they do seem to have in common is this repulsion about a small group of oligarchs plundering the country, and no other country has a more flagrant history of oligarchy, and this is the PRI party is the power. It has always been the representative of the oligarchs. After all, Mexico has Carlos Slim Alou, one of the richest men in the world, and yet it has one-third to one-half of its people in poverty. Some of them, I think about a third, in pretty severe poverty. So there's obviously a lot of injustice and a lot of indignation that's totally appropriate.
Absolutely. And don't underestimate the size of the Mexican middle class. I mean, Mexico has a lot of poor people. They have a lot of lower middle class people and middle class people. It's a country of 110 million. And what's really encouraging about watching the student movement, watching the students march by my hotel half an hour ago, is that you see that these are students from the upper class, the upper middle class, the middle class, the lower middle class, and the upper lower class. They're running the gambit of Mexican society. They're just students is what they share in common. And they're working together toward a common goal, which is to improve the quality of Mexican democracy and to try to do exactly what you're saying, is to create an environment in which the wealth is distributed more equally in this country.
So just in the last minute then, Dr. Pamela Starr, did this election The turnout wasn't as big as I believe last time, and that
it was bigger.
Was it bigger? Oh, so that was initial reports were.
It's the largest in history, which is another very good sign.
And in terms of the results, then, this is not so much a victory for the PRI as a kind of repudiation of the PAN. My understanding is that there's 12-year interregnum between the two PRIs. The 71-year rule and the new rule is largely about the fact that the PAN failed, right?
Yeah, I keep describing the PRI victory as Mexicans voting for safe change, in the sense that the majority of Mexicans simply had it with the bond. They'd had 12 years of a stagnant economy and 6 years of a worsening security situation. And whatever the extenuating circumstances were, the voters just didn't care. And many voters, because of what happened in 2006 with the PRD occupying downtown Mexico City, they were afraid, many of them, to turn to the PRD. They just felt that maybe López Obrador was too radical. So they held their nose, they voted for the PRI, and then legislative elections, a lot of them voted for a separate party and denied the PRI a majority. So it is a punishment against the PAN, but it's also a statement on the fact that the population isn't real happy with any of their political parties right now.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us from Mexico City, Pamela Starr.
It's a pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Pamela Starr, who's the director of the U.S.-Mexico Network at the University of Southern California. She was an official election observer for the elections in Mexico and has an article at foreignaffairs.com, What Mexico Election Means for the Drug War. This has been a Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Christian Vasquez. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.